Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. This is the word of God. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways, in the life you once lived. But now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, by barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. Well, friends, what's in your heart tonight? I know we all come together and we all put on our Sunday clothes and come together and we know each other, but isn't there so much and so often so much going on in our hearts that maybe few, if anyone else, even knows? What's going on in your heart tonight? You know, if some of those psalm selections are any indication, there's a whole spectrum of things that may be going on in people's hearts. Someone selects a psalm that speaks of weeping, and groaning, and mourning. Someone else selects a psalm of joy and gladness coming in to the courts of the Lord. What a spectrum. How thankful to have the word of God that in the psalms which cover that kind of spectrum. But that's the spectrum of our hearts as we come together on any given Sunday. So what's in your heart tonight? God knows. Even more than you know, but you know quite a bit more than anyone else does about what's in your heart. And that may be all sorts of things. Our hearts are filled with all kinds of things all the time. Let me ask you another question. Amidst and among all those things that may be going on in your heart tonight, what holds sway? What wins the day? What sets the agenda? After all the things are engaged and considered, what comes out on top? Well, in Colossians 3:15, the Apostle Paul is speaking about our hearts. And he says something there that's really quite fundamental and foundational. It's one of those passages really that is like an architect's blueprint. Once we see that, everything else fits in according to it. It's a programmatic kind of verse. He says in verse 15, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts." I've been considering that verse recently. It just struck me again. And I've been thinking about it and how deep and how wide and how big this verse is. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Whatever else may be going on, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Now, what is the peace of Christ? Some translations, you may have them say the peace of God. There's some difference in manuscripts. The peace of God, we know that any peace of God is mediated through Christ. There's no peace of God without Christ. But that peace of God, the peace of Christ, really has two basic possible meanings. First of all, there is the peace that we have with God. Because of sin, we are enemies of God, and He is at enmity with us. If we were left in our sin, there would be no one who would be the friend of God, and He would deal with us as His enemies. And that's a fearful thing. But because of Jesus Christ, we may have peace with God. The offense of sin and the guilt of sin is taken away, and so that instead of this relationship of enmity, there is a relationship of peace, friendship, that sinners saved in Christ may have with the Holy God. And so there is a vertical dimension to the peace of God, or the peace of Christ, our relationship to God. But certainly throughout the Scriptures, when we read of peace, it also has to do with the horizontal relationship that we have with one another. And so we sing very often, we did tonight, of the peace of the church, the peace of Christ that we have with one another. Now, I think both of those things may be in mind here. Paul says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Rule in your hearts. Now, there are several Greek words for rule. There's the word for shepherd, sometimes a shepherd as he leads and guides. That word sometimes is translated as rule. There's the Greek word where we get our English word hegemony, which means to rule. There's also another word family, which means to stand in front of, or to stand before as a leader, as a ruler. But none of those words are used here behind this English word rule. In fact, this is the only time that this particular word is used in all of the New Testament. And boys and girls, it's a word that comes from an idea that you're very familiar with, because it has the sense of someone who is the judge, or who is the umpire, we could say, or the referee in an athletic contest. Interesting. That in a race or a game, that there are referees sometimes. Right? The zebras, they're called. They have the black and white stripes on their shirt in hockey. Or some of you were at the track meet yesterday. And you know, as Paul uses the imagery elsewhere in one of his letters, that those who compete in the games must do so according to the rules. Because if they don't, they'll be disqualified. Well, who takes care of the rules? Who administers the rules? Well, the judge, or the leader, the ruler here. That's the sense of this word. So that if you were at the track meet, you were running in your lane, but someone was getting close and you decided to veer over quickly and cut them off, Mrs. Anderson would blow her whistle and you'd be disqualified. She was the umpire. She was the judge. She ruled there at the track meet with an iron fist. It was a great time. But she was in charge there of deciding the rules and administering the rules. And that's the sense here. When we think, you see, that's a quite a different sense, I think, than when we first hear that, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And when we think, what ought to rule in our hearts? Well, we know Jesus rules in our hearts. Peter, set apart Christ as Lord in your hearts. But here it's something else, and it's a different sense of rule. It's not Christ particularly, it's the peace of Christ that ought to rule the way an umpire or a referee rules in an athletic contest in our hearts. It's the sense also perhaps of an arbiter, an arbitrator. You know, someone who may come when union conflicts are involved. If you're ever involved with the unions, there are always grievances. And they're calling in arbitrators to decide between parties and factions. That's the sense here. What does Paul mean then? Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Well, if we first think of the peace of Christ in terms of peace with God, there are many circumstances and situations in our lives that could be used to destroy or to undermine our peace with God. Our own sin. Even when it's been confessed and repented of, the adversary of our souls comes and says, look at you. You call yourself a Christian. How can you be a son or daughter of God? Look at what you've done. And the turmoil and the anxiety perhaps start to well up in our hearts. Paul says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And so when our consciences and when the devil uses that to accuse us that we're not the children of God, against the promises of God, the peace of Christ rules. We ought to say the peace of Christ then says to those whisperings, disqualified, out of bounds, whatever it is, the peace of Christ rules. We have circumstances sometimes, I don't know your sin, but our circumstances, suffering that we're involved in, that also may cause anxiety and turmoil in our hearts. Paul says, no, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. We're the children of God. God loves us. What he brings us is for our good. And so when these conflicting thoughts come into our mind, what rules? The peace of Christ. There's that vertical dimension, but also on the horizontal level, and I think this is what Paul particularly has in mind, as we'll see later on, that the peace of Christ among ourselves ought to rule in our hearts. That's an amazing statement. The more I've been thinking about it, the deeper I've gone into it, I haven't quite come out the other side yet. It's amazing. It's so helpful. When we're involved with one another, all sorts of things can come up and arise in our situation, our circumstances, the way we interact, the way we speak to one another. And Paul says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. The peace of Christ is the referee there, the umpire. And so whatever's happening, this goes for Christian families, but a Christian congregation, the Church of Christ especially, whatever's happening, when I'm in a circumstance and I want to do something, I feel like doing something, I have to submit that to the referee. I have to submit that desire to do something to the peace of Christ. And let the peace of Christ rule in my heart. Now, of course, this is under the truth of God that, you know, peace with God. We don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. And so we live by His truth and His law and His commandments. But under that, there are so many times when we're involved in something and we want to do something, but Paul says, here is what the deciding factor is. Here is the umpire, the judge, the referee of all that that's going to go on in our hearts, the peace of Christ. Peace of the church that we sang about in Psalm 122. Is what I am about to do, what I am contemplating doing for the peace of the church. Is it going to build or destroy the peace of the church? Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. This is an overarching statement in reality. You know, there are times when we're tempted to say things to one another. All sorts of motivations behind wanting to say something to someone. Conflicting desires in our hearts that are making their way to our tongue. But before they ever get there and pass our lips, Paul says, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. You know, once I was reacquainted with this verse, almost everything that I'm doing, and I'm thinking along these lines. What a verse. Everything I say, everything I'm doing, what's ruling? What's setting the boundaries? What's saying disqualified, out of bounds, not allowed? The peace of Christ. Peace with one another. I think that this corporate reality dynamic is at heart, because what does Paul go on to say? Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body you were called to peace. He is talking about that body life. And here behind the rule is a reason. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, among you. It's plural, your hearts together. Let it rule. Why? Says, listen, you're one body. You're not just individuals. You're not just a random collection of people. You're not just some kind of society or club even. Because of the reality of Christ the head, anyone joined to Christ is also joined to everyone else joined to Christ. We are his body. Why should peace rule in our hearts? Because we are members one of another. Same body. What happens in a human body when one part starts warring against the other? That happens sometimes when organs are taken from one person and put inside another person. I'm not sure about all the ethical or moral dimensions of that question, but often medication has to be given, and there's a tense time. Will the body reject that organ? Will there be warring against it? And we say, that's just not, it's not good, it's not right, it's harmful, it can lead to death. Our bodies are not to work that way. There isn't to be antagonism and warring and separation. If your leg said, I want to go to church tonight, but your arm said, I want to stay home. Can you imagine, boys and girls? That just doesn't even make sense. We're one body. You know, the Apostle Paul said, he's talking about marriage in Ephesians 5, but it applies here. He said, no person ever hated his own body, but cares for it. Well, that is talking about the relationship of husband and wife, but I think the analogy also holds for the church of Jesus Christ together. We're the body. What person ever hated his own body? But you do what you can to nourish your body and to take care of it. Don't you? We go to such great lengths to watch what goes into our body, to be healthy, to be strong. And yet so often we can be so unthinking about the way we relate to one another. You'd never relate to your own body that way physically. But we are members of the body. And so let peace rule in your heart. And you know, he goes on to say one more thing there, and it seems to be quite disconnected. The NIV makes it a sentence on its own. It's not in the original. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace, and be thankful. I don't think that that's just a non sequitur there that just doesn't follow. It's just plunked in. It's intimately connected to what Paul is saying. Because gratitude and thankfulness promote peace. You know, gratitude is mentioned throughout the Bible so often. I was noting as we were singing Psalms, even the Psalm favorites, how many times thankfulness came up. Quite a number. In the book of Colossians already, in this letter, chapter 1, verse 3, chapter 1, verse 12, chapter 2, verse 7, 3:15 that we looked at. And look at the rest of that section. Sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. How? With gratitude in your hearts. And then that summary verse, and whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving what? Thanks to God the Father through him. You know, the longer I live as a Christian, the more experience I get in the Christian ministry, the more significance I see to the to gratitude and thanksgiving, and people being thankful. It really is the test. It's right at the heart of who we are and how we think and how we live and act. Gratitude. You know, so often it's the missing element. When we're dealing with each other, we're saying all sorts of things, and we're so slow to say thank you. We're so slow to recognize how much we've been blessed by God. Of course, thanks to him, but to one another. And you know, when gratitude goes, so does peace. It's almost the beginning of the slippery slope toward division in the church. Gratitude. Remembering the blessing that God has given us in Christ and in one another. What a blessing we are to have brothers and sisters in Christ, to minister to one another, to encourage one another. You know, we take it for granted, congregation. Our lips and hearts should be overflowing with gratitude. Gratitude promotes peace, and peace promotes gratitude. It's a circle. They build on one another. And so gratitude, you see, is the real, I think, litmus test. It's the test to see, is there real peace in our hearts? If there is, we'll be thankful. We'll say thank you. We'll be recognizing each other's gifts and graces, and we'll be appreciative of them. See how all these things hold together. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. You're members of one body, and be thankful. Paul said in the book of Romans that it was the characteristic of the unregenerate, the unbelieving, the wicked, that they neither worshiped God nor were they thankful. By God's grace, may we be thankful. May we worship him in peace. Peace with God. Peace with one another. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts.